It's a short message, but it's also a powerful testimony this morning. So that's what we're going to be having a look at. I don't know if anyone remembers, last time I was stood here, I talked a little bit about Paul's goals, and I sort of wanted to remind you, really, of what we talked about first before I start. So this technically is not part of the sermon, so you don't need to start your clocks yet. So I talked a little bit about knowing Jesus more as a challenge, that God really plays that on our hearts. Having a right ongoing relationship with God and doing everything that's possible to put your relationship right with God. And the third one was open to experience God's resurrection power, experience the fullness of everything that God has to offer us. And they were the challenges that I talked about. But in the Bible reading plan this week, we looked at 1 Thessalonians. It was about 1 to 4. So that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning, really. And it's quite interesting because a few people this morning have mentioned a few words that really confirms what I'm going to be talking about. And I think it's really powerful to know that that I think God really wants to change people's lives this morning. I really do. I really think that all that stuff that's happened this week, all those things that you were struggling with, all those things that feel like they're pulling us further away from Him, He really wants to do something with that today. So in the Bible plan this week, we spend a bit of time with the Thessalonians, probably not quite literally, but we've read a letter. And it's just to let you know a little bit about the church, a church that Paul spent very little time at, interestingly. There are some theologians believe around about 6 months. That's all that Paul spent. Now, in any sense of time, that's very short. It's a church that grew rapidly. And it reached out to promote the gospel message around the surrounding areas. And what I've been putting up is just a map, because I don't know about anybody else. You know, when you read the Bible and you have all these different place names, it's interesting just to know where are we actually talking about. So I hope you can see that. Shall I move out the way? But it's Thessalonica is just where that red circle is. It's Greece. Do you know what the most amazing thing is? That God's message is really pushing on. You know, God's apostles are really getting the message out there. They're really pushing this good news that we're going to talk about. And that's really the important part of the message this morning, is about this good news message that we're going to have a look at. I was reading on Facebook last night. I know it was 12:30, really bad. Sorry about that. But there's Simon Ponsonby, who's a preacher, a very powerful preacher. He's done quite a lot of preaching around various different denominations, and he sent a letter to the UK church as a whole, and his letter was about some of the concerns that he has. But some of I found it quite encouraging as well. And the importance of the cross being central to our lives. And Paul, in this letter, really forces that message across, that sometimes we can get so bogged down in all the trimmings and all the bells and whistles and everything else that goes on. And actually, it's the cross is central to the message of what we hear about, you know. And I think that's so powerful. And as you work through the letter, there are really three themes that come from it. The first theme is the word heard. So Paul is talking about the time that he spoke this gospel message, and we're going to look at that in a second. But he also talked about two other themes that flow through those letters. And that is, the word is shared. So it's not something that's kept private, you know. It's not, oh, I know about Jesus now, therefore I'm not going to tell anyone. No, the word was shared. And the word was lived. And that's why that was such a growing church. All they did was three things. They heard the word, they shared the word, and they lived the word. So if you like, the first part can be characterized by the word heard. Well, what did people hear? Well, the first thing that they heard is that they can have a relationship with a living God. That's the first thing, a personal relationship. Now, what you have to remember of this time, there was a lot of kind of religious stuff floating around and lots of people promising, if you come and follow me, this will happen. If you follow me, you'll get more money. If you follow me, you'll have more crops. Paul was talking about a very different message. He was talking about a message of having a personal relationship with the living God. Do you know this is the most powerful thing? Is the God who created the universe loves us. This is the second message he was talking about, loves us. And he calls us by name to serve him. And this was possible because his son Jesus was abused, humiliated, and killed on a cross. And the good news is he was resurrected 3 days later. He loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us for eternity, beyond our physical death. He must have so much that he sent his son to die for us. This is why the cross is so central to the message that we preach, that we talk about to people. So that in this relationship, if we choose to have one with him, that we will experience lives changed. Lives will be changed. It's not a, it might happen, it could happen. Lives will be changed if we're in a relationship with Jesus. Now, what I know, even within this church, there are some amazing stories of how God is working in people's lives. And yes, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of struggles and a lot of difficulties that people are facing, but there are things that God is doing in people's lives in this church at the moment. And I just think it's amazing. We can experience God's love. Now, think about this. At the time, you know, we're talking first century here. That was radical. Whenever any people wandered around and started talking about gods and idols, there was never anything about having a relationship, a personal relationship with God. The words that Paul was speaking, that God laid on his heart, were unique. You know, people followed all kinds of idols and distant, small, you know, gods. And today, it's as radical as ever. If you think about today, there are a lot of people in West Auckland, around the area, who are following other kinds of idols. Yes, they're called different things. You know, they're not called golden cows or anything like that. They're called things like money, position, power, respect, and using various tactics to do that. Various tactics to do that. So the responses, there were two responses. The first one was the word is shared. So really the message that the Thessalonians heard from Paul was the truth about a living God who wants to have a relationship with us because he loves us. The Bible tells us that God loves us, and that we are precious and valuable individuals. And we really are worth the ultimate sacrifice. God saw that. Jesus dying on the cross. When we respond to that love, God draws us into his family. We become his sons and daughters, and we become brothers and sisters, a new and loving community. And that is a reality. I'm not saying that church is perfect. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not. But it's the truth, and we can test it. When we talk about love, we're talking about a love that's not superficial. You know, for example, if I meet someone and I, you know, for the first time go, "How are you?" and they go, "I'm all right." "How are you?" and I go, "I'm all right." And that's about as deep as the conversation goes. When we talk about God's love and us experiencing God's love in community, it's far deeper. It's a love that challenges us. It's a love that pushes us. It's a love that doesn't always say what we want to hear, but we know we need to hear it. You see, the Thessalonians understood this and lived this out, facing every single challenge that we face today. But they lived it out. It's testimony that that church grew. And it didn't grow because of all the bells and whistles. It grew because people shared God's message relationally, one-to-one. Paul was really keen in his understanding that the gospel message is about relationships, a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, Christ's love compels us. It's not like, oh, he kind of wants us to do things. No, Christ's love compels us. Paul tells us, "You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink," or any electronic tablet, by the way, "but with spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Do you know what? Our personality, the way we are with each other, becomes the message as God writes his own personality and character on us. As we become closer to Jesus, so we become more like him. With our community, with believers, but with people who want to know Jesus. People who don't know they want to know Jesus either. You know, Jesus, it was so important to Jesus this, that he gave us a new commandment, didn't he? Now in John 13:34, "Love one another as I have loved you." The reality of the love of God is communicated in our love, both for one another and for the lost whom Christ died for. Paul tells us about this with the Thessalonians 2:7-12. He talks about an intimate love. He talks about a love like a mother might have for a child. He talks about this close and intimate love. I just think sometimes we need to see it though, don't we? So I'm going to play a video. It's a testimony of somebody who experienced everything that Paul talked about, and it's about an ex-criminal who's done some really bad stuff, and he heard Jesus' love. He experienced Jesus' love. I'm going to put that on now. If I can get it to work.
From the age of 11, my life growing up outside Leeds on a rough estate, the kind of estate that buses didn't run on after dark, the police didn't come on it after dark, that's where I grew up, that's what I knew. I got into crime at a really early age, I got into drugs at a really early age. It wasn't a conscious decision. This is something I naturally fell into because that's what was around me. As that progressed and I got further into drugs and selling drugs and become more involved in crime, I then got involved with an armed robbery. And the police eventually caught up with me and they came with the armed response units and the dog units, and I was eventually arrested for my part in the armed robbery. I knew that I was going to go away for quite a while. In the end, I received 5.5 years for my part and for my crimes. And it was while serving that sentence that the violence continued until I landed up at a prison called HMP Wolds near Hull. And there I did an Alpha course. I went because it was a skive. I went because you got out of your cell. And I went because it was free coffee and free biscuits. But when I got there, the message hit me, and it hit me hard. I was shown love, I was shown compassion, I was shown understanding. And the people running that course broke through to me. Jesus broke through to me. God broke through with his message of hope and redemption. A second chance, a chance to have my slate wiped clean. And I took it with both hands. When I came out of prison and I started working with young people, going into schools, going into the streets where these young people were, who were locked into this cycle of drugs, locked into poverty, locked into desperation, who had no hope in their lives. And when I took this message of hope, the message that Jesus brings, so many of them responded, so many took it, and they grabbed it with both hands too. My book Unreachable tells the full story of how God took someone like me and turned my life around, and now uses me to take that message of hope into the darkest of situations. I want this to encourage people in churches and churches in general to see that there is something that they can do, that there is nobody that God cannot use to reach into those dark situations and those dark places. Everybody has a calling from God on their life to go and be a bearer of the light and take it into these darkest of situations.
Powerful testimony of God's love. And he's doing some amazing work with young people who quite easily could be drawn into a dark world, dark life. And that takes me to the final part, really. The word is lived. And it's just some questions. And the questions are, how do you live out God's word in your life? Is there anything in the way? Really, is there anything in the way? Are there things that we need to deal with today? I've got a real sense that God really wants to deal with some stuff today. I don't know about you. But the God I know, Jesus that I know, is tough. Tough love. He doesn't want to mess around. He wants to do some business with you today. Are you ready to be a tablet for the Holy Spirit to write his characteristics or personality onto you? Are you ready to be used by God in your community? Are you ready to make a difference in people's lives? Are you ready to listen to God? Through prayer. Lord, we live in a country where it's so easy to move away from you, God. We live lives that are busy, that are hectic, that are challenging, that can be lonely. Lord, we are distracted away from you. Jesus, we absolutely pray by your Holy Spirit that you will do something with us, Lord. Do something in our lives. A decision to be made. A life changed. To hear your word, to share your word, and to live your word. Amen.